EMSradio.com.
EMS information for the next generation.
The EMS Garage is a production of EMSradio.com. You can find us on Facebook, just search EMS Garage. You can find us on Twitter at EMS Garage. Email us, emsgarage@gmail.com, or call us, 303-720-6001.
This episode of the EMS Garage is brought to you by Audible.com. Over 85,000 titles to choose from in every genre: thrillers, business, romance, comedy, sci-fi, and more. Get a free audiobook download for your MP3 or iPod. Just go to www.audibletrial.com/EMS Garage.
The EMS Garage.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the EMS Garage. I'm your host, Chris Montero, and we're back for another week of fun and mayhem. Speaking of mayhem, gosh, I love those commercials. I have been checking with the Mayhem Facebook page recently. I don't know why. I'm really addicted to those commercials. Something about them is fun. A couple of my favorite ones, recalculating, where the guy's in front of the car acting as if he's the GPS and got you lost and got you crashed. Shaky, breaking a tree limb off. And then the newest one where he's a snowflake and crashes in on your garage. So those are fun, and they are not a sponsor of the show, but gosh, great marketing and really unique way to call people's attention to your product. So if you know who I'm talking about, then you can go to their website and look them up. I'm pleased to have some different guests on tonight, and I think we're going to talk. I don't know what we're going to talk about, quite honestly. We're going to, it's a small panel, and I think we're just going to probably blast through a bunch of news articles and just see where it goes. But first, I'm going to introduce them, and then we're going to talk about EMS Today for sure and tell you what's coming up there and how awesome it's going to be and how much fun if you live back east. If you live within 2 or 3 hours of driving distance of Baltimore, you have to come for one day. I promise you will love it. So up first is Russell Stein. Hello, sir. How are you?
How's it going? That's 2 weeks in a row you've got my name right.
Dude, I'm good. I'm getting good. But yeah, it's because I have it written down. But we won't tell the audience that. How you been, man?
Oh, pretty good. Cold. Trying to stay warm.
Right on.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's been cold here, and we're getting snow flurries, but nothing actually worthwhile. But
dude, you don't have cold. Good. It was 25 below at my house today, so you can't even talk.
Well, you live in the mountains.
Yeah, but it doesn't generally get that cold here. It generally gets cold, but not that cold. I mean, my truck this morning was like made all kinds of weird noises that it has never made before. People are not made to live at that temperature. But
is it gas diesel?
Gas, thank goodness. Oh. It didn't gel. So actually, what was funny is we had the ambulance service up the road told me today that they, during the coldest part, which was apparently 30 below, their diesel fuel gelled in two of their ambulances while they were on the interstate. And so they had a few issues. Luckily, they didn't have a patient on board, and they were just coming back from a call. So it they added some additives to their diesel, and it seemed to clear up the problem. So if you're in a cold environment, you already know this. And if you're in a warm environment and occasionally get cold weather, it has to be really cold to gel diesel. So between 30 below and driving down the road at 70 miles an hour, I think that kind of does it. So
yeah, that probably contributed.
Yeah, a little bit. Boy, what an amazing weather week, though. When I look at what happened in the United States and what happened in Australia, the big cyclone down there, boy, it's really crazy. 2,100 miles of snow in the United States. That's kind of unheard of, like one big storm. And then they were talking today in Australia that the size of the cyclone would have been basically from, it would have been over half of the United States in size when it landed in Australia. So that's kind of a big storm. I guess they said it was bigger than the size of Katrina when it made landfall. So kind of scary.
Wow.
Yeah, a little scary. Hopefully it's not global warming or something like that, because I really don't believe in that. So I don't believe in global warming. Therefore, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's usually what everyone else says too.
Yeah, I know. Maybe it'll probably catch up with me someday. Oh well. Also joining us tonight is Mr. James Warmoth. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And it's been cold in Texas too, apparently.
Absolutely.
That sucks. Oh well. But we had a good friend this week email me from North Carolina, said it was 70 at the beach, so I should be down there.
That's not fair.
I know. I agree. That's where I really want to be, especially when it's this cold. I'm like, normally 30 degrees, I don't mind, but 30 below, I mind. So, thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate it. Also joining us is our new executive producer for the ProMed Network and EMS Garage, EMS Radio, and just an all-around nice person, Anne Robinson. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
You know, hanging in there. And, you know, you live close to me, so you know it's cold.
Yeah, pretty cold.
Yeah, it sucks. So people have heard you on our podcast before, but it's been a while. So refresh us on your background a little bit.
I would be your public health nurse extraordinaire. Just come with some vast knowledge of neonatal OB nursing, quality assurance, and now into public health. And in the last couple of years, my eyes have been opened up to this EMS world of healthcare. Wow, what an amazing vast knowledge of information. But I am privileged to be here and be a part of the ProMed Network and everything that we're doing with EMS today in 2011 in Baltimore. So I'm excited to be a part of that team.
Ah, well, perfect segue into our next topic. So, Anne, tell us who we know kind of our lineup for EMS today, and you have some times that will be on the show floor. See, guys, we're actually getting, I don't know, organized. Years back, I think the first time we did this was about 2 or 3 years ago, and I just said, y'all come. We don't know when we're taping. Just come on by the booth. We don't know. But I don't know if we have our booth space yet. I think it's going to be near the GEMS booth, which is right at the front door. But Anne, tell us, refresh us on the times, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that we'll be there. And just tell us the number of shows that we'll have and who's coming on.
Okay, awesome. Well, the exhibit hall opens up on Thursday, March 3rd, and it's open between 5 and 7:30. And during that time period, we are going to have, well, we're starting a pre-show around 3. So if you have a privileged pre-opening pass, come and join us. But
or if you tweet me, I will get you in.
Awesome. So we will have 3 shows on Thursday, and we will have our GEM spotlight. We will have our kickoff podcast event with EMS Garage and Medicast. And then we will have EMS Educast at 6 o'clock that night. And then we're moving into our shows 4 through 9 on Friday. We have a total of 12 shows. It's really amazing. And we have an amazing it's exciting the amount of podcasters and shows that want to be a part of this. In the past, we had podcast groups wanting to do multiple shows, and now I have just barely enough spaces or availability for everyone just to have one show. So it's really growing, and the excitement is underway. So on Friday, we have 6 different shows, and starting at 10 a.m. through 4 p.m. So it's ongoing the entire time. So stop by and see all the events and things we're doing. And then we continue into Saturday with 3 additional shows. So it is exciting, and there's lots of entertainment, lots of fun. And if you are there in Baltimore with us, we encourage you to find your favorite, what are these contests, Chris's? Chris, that we do? your favorite exhibit and then your favorite.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we have the innovative product of the show.
Yes.
And if you find that, or your favorite tchotchke.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
the favorite tchotchke from the show. We love those. And if you bring those up to us, we recognize you. And we also recognize the vendor who had the favorite tchotchke. They haven't been as good with the down economy. The past couple times, it's like, I mean, there's cool pens, but...
No, we have some good ones. And our podcast final double episode at 11:30 on Saturday will be showcasing all of those favorites. So please bring them on, and we'll be walking the show floor before that to collect our ideas and favorites. So we are there.
Oh, and last year was the glow stick guy.
The Omniglow, he was amazing. So, and I see that he's going to be there again. So I can't wait to meet up with him.
Okay, very cool. And I am, you know, I don't know how much more excited I could be about a show. I was excited to go to EMS Today last year, and that was my first time. This year, I think it's going to be 10 times the event it was last year. And I've heard from AJ, got a hold of me last week, AJ Heitman, and said, you know, it's been a banner year. They're overselling. They're having a great vendor show. A lot of people are coming to the event because they want the education, and more people have some money now to actually come take part. So if you're one of the lucky ones, one of the lucky several thousand that'll be there, we encourage you to come on by our booth and say hi. The other thing is Thursday night we have a meetup, and I haven't heard the exact location of it. Anne may know that, but I don't. It is, but we will let you know. It'll be on Twitter. It'll be at our booth. Come by the EMS Garage, EMS Radio, ProMed Network booth and find us. We'll give you a free pass. We'll kind of probably give you a couple of drink tickets to boot. And we'll try and get you in, and it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be time to just hang back and talk to other people from the EMS industry, talk to people that blog and podcast and do social media, or you don't have to. You can just come and take part and have fun. So come on by. We really appreciate it. We also, I also had a fan contact me this week and say, I have to pull up his email real quick, but he was pretty excited. He called me out on my drinking game with Greg on the Educast. And he said, so this is Mike F from Wisconsin. And he said, for the garage, the phrase that pays and every time you should take a drink is when Chris says, right on. So there you go. Right on, right on, right on. That's three shots in a row.
That's hilarious.
Hopefully you're listening to this at night and not during the day.
And definitely not at work.
And well, you know, if you're at San Francisco Fire, I heard years ago at San Francisco Fire, you could have two glasses of wine during your shift.
Well, we know somebody we can ask.
Yeah. Well, apparently they got rid of it because there was some abuse. And what would happen is somebody would say, well, you can have my two glasses of wine. And then somebody else would say, well, you can have my two glasses of wine. And before you knew it, one guy had six glasses of wine. And yeah, probably.
Let's get that one guy trashed.
Probably not appropriate. Yeah, exactly. Not appropriate when you're trying to save lives to show up drunker than your patient. Anne, thank you so much. Tell me what else you're going to say? Sorry.
So there may be some other events that week, but I'm sure we can talk about that a little later, like a dart tournament
type of thing. About that. Oh, we'll talk about it at the end. Yeah.
Okay.
That's my perfect official throwdown for Kyle.
Okay. Awesome.
And then the other thing, Carissa O'Brien and I will be there, and we're doing the EMS Today official first annual cook-off, and her and I are a team, and apparently we get a George Foreman grill and about five ingredients, and we have to whip up something in 1 hour. I think it'll be a lot of fun, and if nothing else, you'll get to see Carissa and I at our best enjoying, maybe she's enjoying my jokes. I don't know. I enjoy her jokes because she's really campy, maybe campier than me. And we just have a lot of fun. So come on by the EMS Today cook-off. Unfortunately, everything's all at once this year. So that's going to be while we're taping a show. So Of course, I won't be on the show, but I'll be at the cook-off. So watch the show. Come on by the cook-off probably for the last 15 minutes and see what we're doing. I know there will be signs all over, and it's going to be just a lot of fun.
It sounds like Iron Chef EMS.
I know. That's going to be so much fun. I want the guy from Iron Chef to be there and say, well, Chris and Carissa, they have parsnips. And what are you guys doing with those parsnips? You know, I don't know. Whatever.
Do we want the Japanese guys or do we want the American guys?
I'll take the American guys. Those Japanese guys would kick my butt. They're good cooks. I've heard. But I also like Japanese food. Like sushi. Okay. Anyway, sorry that subject died really quickly. Anyway, so I'm going to do an interview tomorrow with, and I'll stick it in the show somewhere in here with Chris Kaiser talking about some kind of blogger thing that they want you to vote for. But you can listen to that. It may be a special episode of the EMS Garage, and we'll just add it to the stream. Either way, you'll get to listen to it, and it'll be a lot of fun. And you know Chris Kaiser, he's a great guy, and I like his sense of humor. That guy can talk. So this week I wanted to talk about a few things. One was actually an article from Dr. Wesley that I read on chims.com this week, and it kind of made me chuckle. And I don't know if it did the same thing for you guys, but I'm trying to pull it up now, and I can't find it. He was making some quips about pre-hospital intubation and cardiac arrest survival, and talking about the increased survivability of that. No, it wasn't that article. Doggone it, I can't find it, but I will find it before we do. But basically, Dr. Wesley in his article actually said, duh. And I thought that was brilliant of the man because he actually is that funny. A couple of the news items this week that I thought were at least newsworthy and caught my attention was the idea that we need to start as an industry looking at how do we protect our providers when they're out in the cold? And how do you guys do it? I mean, it's the perfect time of year to talk about that and layering works and all those other issues. But if you're not prepared as a provider, how can you go out and treat people? So I'd be interested to know, bunker gear is warm-ish, but it's really not designed to protect you from the elements. And leather gloves and a Kevlar suit, which is really what it is anymore, doesn't really cut it in my view for winter gear, but I'd be interested to hear what you guys think.
Well, I found an interesting solution, I guess, that I use a lot, and that is I go to my local Mega Mart and I can find these little cotton gloves, these white cotton gloves, and they're about $5 for three or four pair of them. And I put those on and put my EMS gloves, my medic gloves on top of that. And it provides a decent cold barrier. As far as like our equipment and stuff, we actually have space heaters in the trucks that we plug in when the truck is parked, try to keep all the drugs and everything inside it at a decent temperature, and block heaters to keep the engines warm so that when we do fire them up, we get heat pretty quick.
For us, it depends on the scale of the incident. They send, whenever there's an extreme of temperature, they took an old ambulance here and modified it as a rehab truck. So anytime that there's a large scale incident out in the cold, or we're going to be out in the cold for any period of time, they send the rehab truck. So it usually provides a nice warm refuge and beverages of choice if they think ahead. But other than that, we're pretty much reduced to turnout gear plus whatever else we have on at the time.
So you guys don't specifically have, of course, we live in the mountains, so it's a little different here, but you guys don't have specific cold weather gear that your agency gives you.
No, we have coats. They tell us what coats we can buy.
Great. That's awesome. Well, I know at our agency, we found this company from Vermont, and I'm going to plug them because I really believe in them. Cold Lizard and it's COLD and it's LIZARD. And if you're saying that's Cold Lizard, it is. And it's coldlizard.com, but it's Cold Day. So it's COL and then D with apostrophe and then Lizard. So it's LIZ and then A with the emphasis on the ARD. So it's Cold Day Lizard. But anyway, great people over there. And they make some of the best fleece coats and jackets that I've ever found. So what we did is we actually integrated that into our uniform pieces. And we have a fleece coat that has EMS stitched in the back that's in reflective. And then we have reflective tape all around it and these really cool pit zips. So if you work in a very cold environment, you find really quickly that if you're overdressed, you sweat a lot. And which is kind of counterintuitive, but you do. And if you have the pit zips, basically zippers underneath your armpits, you can open them up and get some relief from the heat. And believe it or not, even if it's zero out, you can actually be that warm in something very simple like that. So we offer a few pieces of fleece. We have another coat, a very bright yellow or bright green coat, if you will, that goes over that for roadside type events. We also issue a hat or like little beanies and things like that. And then we ask the provider themselves to get their own gloves or something like that. Cause I feel gloves are a personal choice, but we give people an allowance to buy those. So, I think it's important to recognize that you're not always prepared for the elements and whether it's hot or cold, you've got to be prepared for where you're at. And I think that it seems timely that we should be talking about cold events and, yeah, okay. 30 below is cold, but you know, 2 degrees is cold if you have a lot of humidity. So I guess I would ask you guys, how do you guys feel about, bunker gear as a whole for, protection? Do you think that really works, in your line of work, especially Russ, or no?
Oh, I worked last night. We made a little garage fire, and I stay pretty warm, even without having to jump inside trucks. But then again, I was moving quite a bit, so they design it so that it'll entrap air inside. So I guess it just trapped the warm air, kind of like a good down coat. But you get it wet, and it tends to go the other way.
Well, I was going to ask that. I mean, if you get it wet and you have sweat in there, will it start to freeze? Seems like it would.
Yeah, my I had a problem with that with my gloves last night, but the fluid liner actually keeps the water out, so it freezes on the outside, but it starts to get really heavy, and it really increases your fatigue. Because you're trying to lug around, you know, like 20 pounds of water that's soaked into your gear that's now ice. But I mean, it keeps you, it'll keep you warm if you're moving. If you're not moving, it'll act the other way.
Well, see, now that's what I was going to maybe point out too is, and not so much on a fire. I think that in a fire you could go, okay, I can go inside the fire and get warmer or whatever because I'm working. But I'm thinking about the guys that are standing in bunker gear on the side of the road directing traffic tonight. I mean, those guys got to be cold. I mean, you're not doing much movement directing traffic.
Yeah, that's true. If you're standing still and you're not really doing anything, it'll get kind of chilly. Okay. But it doesn't take much to warm up after... Yeah. Yeah, so it takes a minimum amount of movement to trap enough warm air.
All right. Well, maybe we've frozen that topic out. I don't know. Anyway.
I mean, it's a valid point, though.
Right. Well, you know, I just thought it was interesting. I saw one of those articles on GEMS and thought, hey, you know, it'd be interesting to talk about. Another topic from EMS World this week, California Fire Department to dispatch citizens to cardiac emergencies. James, you brought this topic up. Tell us what you found out about the iPhone app that will let you know that there's a cardiac emergency nearby.
I wish you would have grabbed the first article I sent you because I'm still reading the second one. But
okay,
what I didn't grab the first one.
There we go. Okay, there we go.
What I thought this was particularly fascinating, the little bit that I have read about it. Essentially, San Ramos Valley FD has this iPhone app set up where if you're within a certain geographic distance, which I haven't gotten to the point where it actually specifies how far of a distance that is, but it basically uses your GPS in your phone, and if there's a 911 call for cardiac arrest, it will notify you by a push message, and then it displays a map of exactly where the call is. And from what I gather, their intention here is to get those people who want to help, to know CPR to the victim as quickly as possible. You know, if our nearest ambulance is 10 minutes away, but we have someone who's trained in CPR, who's willing to help, can jump over there in, you know, 1 or 2 minutes and actually get things started. I think it's a good thing. I do have some concerns about it, but I think it's a good thing.
Well, you know, what's funny is I know that there's a PAD program, a public access AED program here in Colorado, in Durango, where the fire department basically has created a public access AED program that will give you an AED for your business. However, the caveat is that if there's a cardiac arrest within so many blocks of your business, you actually have to pick up your AED and the dispatch center will call them and they have to respond to the scene with that AED. Interesting concept, but you know what? They said that they have businesses lining up and they can't keep the AEDs in stock because people actually want to help. They want to help their fellow business owners or fellow citizens or tourists or whatever. So that to me is interesting. And seeing something like this, A, is a little scary that they can find my location with GPS that way. But B, what an interesting way and new and innovative way to see or be able to participate and use my CPR skills that I, you know, just trained on and I don't know if I'll ever use, especially if I say I'm a daycare provider or something. I know in our area, we've certified somewhere near 500 people over the last 2 years in CPR for free. And I don't know if those people ever get to use it. But the cool thing is with this app, you could take it that much further. So you give a CPR class and you say, hey, go to this thing. You can sign up for our app and we'll notify you if there's a CPR in progress or whatever. And you can go there. And if you want to help, it's up to you. But we're not saying you have to, but it's kind of left open. I think what it does, though, is it kind of raises questions for me, and I'm not a lawyer, about Good Samaritan laws. Good Samaritan laws are made to protect people that come upon an incident, not necessarily people that respond to an incident. So I think that'll be an interesting area of law that people are going to have to come up with. And I haven't read the article enough to say if they've actually figured that out.
I actually blogged about that. I don't know if you saw the Twitter updates, but I actually put a blog post about it up last night. It does kind of raise questions in my mind about the legal aspect is, you know, and I'm being the negative Nelly, I guess, is that it could breed a new version of the ambulance chasing lawyer who's, you know, driving around now in his car and waiting for these updates and then going to the scene, taking notes, and then, you know, suggesting to the family later on, hey, there might have been a problem with that. And, you know, this issue might have been prevented if the fire department did this, and then bam, here comes a lawsuit. So that it kind of raises an issue in my mind is are we giving an opportunity for somebody to eavesdrop on us?
Go ahead.
And even what about the idea of Homeland Security? Is that if let's say this idea catches on and more people use it, and especially in major cities and target areas, that, you know, all somebody has to do is, you know, oh, the fire department's out in this area, you know, that's where they're going to be weakest. Okay, so I'll go over here and blow something up. Now now that you've just created a large gap in your protection.
You know, I see a couple situations where this would be very, very helpful, and I see a couple of situations where this would cause so many problems. One of the things that I like about this idea is that in a situation like New York recently had, where they could not get ambulances where they needed to go, a system like this could at least get some level of at least notify some level of rescuer, you know, who may be close by that, hey, there's an incident going on. But the problem that I see with it is the fact that not only the ambulance chasing lawyers, I agree with that 100%, but also you have those people who want to help, but you really don't want them to.
Like the Rescue Randy guy that pops a little teardrop light on his car and, hey, I'm going to be the first one to the scene and I'm going to buy every gadget there is and I'm going to save people's lives. I could see that.
Absolutely.
I could see that could be a problem. You know something else? Russell, I don't know that I'd necessarily agree with you on the Homeland Security thing. I think that at any given point, there are security issues, and it's probably not our place to really point those out to people. But I think that I come from a Homeland Security background for a few years, and my thought was, is these guys have 24/7, 365 to think about it. I think about it 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. So, you know, there is that. We're never going to be able to outthink people. I agree with you that there could be a concern there. I think the bigger concern, though, and as you guys pointed out, is A, lawyer, or B, a news crew coming up on a scene like that and the HIPAA implications of that. And just, boy, I don't know. It gives me the... I think it's a great idea. I'm not sure about the implications along with U.S. privacy laws will really coincide together.
If said news crew was really dedicated, they'd already know what's happening because they probably have a scanner in their vehicle or close by.
True. Well, that's a very good point. Yeah, I guess I could see that. Boy. Now, let's take a step back, though. Think about your mother and giving her an iPhone app to do this. Let's go back to the simplest person that I can think of. Or let's say there's a nurse, an OB nurse, that's a public health nurse that has this iPhone app. And maybe she's walking down the street and gets the, oh man, there's a guy having a cardiac arrest in the store I just walked by. How do you feel about that, Anne? I mean, from a lay person's perspective that's not in EMS, how do you feel about that? Would you sign up for something like that?
No.
Okay.
So, yeah. I know too much now about EMS versus what some of our specialty nurses know. And nursing, amazing. We have our strengths and our weaknesses. And I'll tell you, the paramedics and the responses to the emergency, that is your strength. And I've had situations where I've been the first on scene in a crash. And as soon as that paramedic got there, I was like, please take over. Or, okay, call the paramedic. This is not the public health nurse's response. So this is not something that I as a nurse would sign up for. But also, I think about just getting the word out. I want to take it to the next level of just educating more people about how to use AEDs, educating people about CPR, not so they can respond to them, just so if any event it happens right in front of them, they can respond correctly. And that's more where I would like to emphasize people to go towards. But that's kind of my take from my point of view as a nurse.
All right. I guess that makes sense. But I mean, I think about my mom and her responding to something like this. And I know she listens. Hi, Mom. I don't know. I know my mom well. I don't think she'd be interested at all in helping somebody that she got a text alert about. If the guy dropped down in front of her, I know she would. But for her to go, that's kind of somebody else's deal. I'm not trained to respond. See, and I guess here brings up the whole other issue that we don't teach in CPR, scene safe, BSI. We don't really teach that level of sophistication for people. Here's the other thing. What if it's called in as a cardiac arrest and it turns out the guy's in cardiac arrest because he got shot 4 times? I mean, not really the thing you want to respond to running into. I don't know. I think that it's a very innovative idea. Boy, practically, it just scares me a little bit to say, I don't know how you do it. I don't know. You guys may have better answers than me, but man, it's scary.
Well, and I would like to also know, what are the percent of people that are actually signing up for this? What is the response? How many people are wanting to get on board with this? That would be interesting to me.
Isn't it on the iStore?
Yeah, you can get it on iTunes. So I guess raises a bigger question. What if I can get it on iTunes, but I'm not in their jurisdiction? Will every jurisdiction someday, be able to host that? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe more to come. I wish we had Steve Wirth on tonight or Skip to go, well, actually,
you know, it's a cardiac arrest. And if I drive 70 miles an hour, I can be there in 36 hours, you know, it'd be great.
Oh, there you go. You could go too. We could all go. Yeah. I may download it just to see what it's like. I apparently won't know where I'm at because I don't live in their jurisdiction. Maybe that's the limiting factor. Interesting. Well, I don't know. I guess it kind of falls into that same venue of Good Samaritan laws for the public access AED program I was talking about earlier. If they respond with their AED, are they then no longer are they considered a trained provider and no longer considered a Good Samaritan? The laws around that are so varied state to state that I'd hate to say how it really plays out in not only Colorado, but California or where you live.
Well, and there's the whole concept of when you train someone on an AED, anybody can be trained, even a first grader. So keep that in your thought.
Well, the other thing is, well, with AEDs, though, you don't have to be trained to use it. That's the point.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Even a simple first grader can go up to it, grab it, and follow the directions and save a life. So, yeah, are you trained or not? Nope, you do not need to be trained. And that's what it's about. Do you know what it is, what it does, and can you follow the directions? That's what's important.
Well, now that we're talking about AEDs, what about the article from EMS World this week that said, study, most people unwilling to use AEDs, from the Annals of Emergency Medicine. It found that less than half of the people that are near a PAD program are willing to use it or recognize that it's even there. That's so scary.
My first issue with this is that it's in the Netherlands.
Well, okay. All right. Well, you don't think that they understand what an AED is?
No, it's just that maybe there's a difference in cultural mindset.
Ah, okay. Now that's an interesting question. And I think we have even different cultures within the United States to where, I don't know, I've been in larger cities in the United States, metropolitan areas, East and West Coast, Middle Coast, middle of the country. And I've seen people in almost all of those cities step over somebody that appeared unconscious on the sidewalk. You know, is that... I don't know. I mean, culturally, are we that much different?
There's an interesting thing that I saw. It was near the very end of the article. And you know, we can talk about cultural differences and things like that, but I think this number really says a lot. And I think that regardless of where you go, you know, you're going to find this same number. And they had asked a question. They said, if you see someone fall down and go unconscious, what do you do? While they almost all of them responded, you know, call 911, only about 6% responded to go get an AED, to try to find an AED, to try to use an AED. So, I mean, that in itself is, okay, even if there's an AED right there within 100 feet of you, if you don't think to use it, if you don't think to go look for it, you know, what good is it doing there?
Well, I think it kind of ties into a topic that we had several weeks ago when Koenig and the guy from Mitigation Journal were on talking about our level of preparedness in general, even to everyday emergencies and naturally occurring emergencies and things like that, is that we have ingrained it in people's minds so much that to depend on the government to help somebody or to help them even, that people have forgotten how to fend for themselves. So
great point.
It comes into their mind that, okay, somebody falls down and goes unconscious. Okay, what's the first thing I do? Call 911. What's the second thing I do? I don't know. I wait for the fire department to show up or an ambulance to show up or the police department to show up. That's a lot of people's mindsets is that if I call 911 or 999 in the UK or whatever, and say that there's an emergency, someone will show up. And that's all the action that is needed. And we see it all the time covering a part of the interstate of I-40 that goes around Memphis, that people will see a car parked off the side of the road and somebody slumped over the wheel, and they'll call, give the wrong location. And then we're chasing up and down the road while the dispatcher is trying to call the person back, but they're left. They've already left the area. They don't remember where they saw it. They just kept driving. So it's become an assumption that if I call this number, someone will show up and handle the problem and no further action is necessary.
So
we've taught that to people over and for the past 30 years.
Well, maybe that talks about our culture, that we're more willing to report things but not act.
Exactly.
Well, and on that happy note, I just want to remind our audience that we're brought to you by Audible.com. Over 85,000 titles you can, and I'm glad we're actually talking about this topic tonight, because my book of the week was Tom Clancy, Dead or Alive. So perfect timing for that. Really has nothing to do with AEDs or dying, but Tom Clancy is a great novelist, and it's narrated by Lou Diamond Phillips. And if you are at all interested, go to audibletrial.com/EMS garage, get a 14-day free trial and a free audiobook, yours to keep. If you cancel and you say after 14 days, I don't want it, after you've gone to audibletrial.com/EMS garage, you can cancel it, and Tom Clancy's Dead or Alive will be yours to keep. But trust me, once you get it, you're going to be like, oh, I'm addicted. I need 2 books. I need 4 books a month. I need as many as I can get. And we're very happy to be a partner with Audible, and they've been very good to our podcast and to many others. And you would think, man, podcasts, aren't you guys in competition with Audible? And I tell people no, because I know that people can listen to many, many hours of content a week. All of our networks and everything that we do, I think we maybe hit about 24 hours of content a week. There are 168 hours in a week. You have more than enough time to listen to audible.com. So go over to audibletrial.com/EMS garage, 85,000 titles, every genre you can imagine. My personal favorite, sci-fi. But this week, going to listen to Tom Clancy, Dead or Alive. And Lou Diamond Phillips is awesome. He has one of those voices that you're just like, oh, great. Great actor. And he actually puts something extra into his narration. So I want to talk real briefly about this idea of cardiac arrest and people using AEDs. I don't know if you guys have seen... I was looking up the other day something on the internet, of course, and found this new iPhone app and a iPhone attachment that lets you put put an iPhone on your chest, and it becomes a 2-lead EKG. It's quite innovative, hasn't been through all the FDA trials yet, but it looks like it works. We're gonna talk about it. It's coming up soon. Is that something that maybe we foresee in the future where everybody's smartphone could become an AED? I don't know. You know me, I'm a technology guy. I love that kind of stuff.
I'm assuming you saw Casino Royale.
Of course I did. That's an awesome movie.
The little, it's basically a phone sized AED
that he pulled out of his glove compartment and he shocked himself with. Yeah.
Yes.
It was awesome.
I have this horrible image of shocking someone one time and then all of a sudden my phone dies and I lose my connection to 911 because I just wasted my iPhone battery on a single shock.
Well, but I think odds are saying that your single shock will actually bring that person back to life. You know what's funnier is I actually envision you with your head on that person's chest while you're talking to 911 going, oh, okay, you mean now I'm supposed to push the button? And your ear's still on it when you push the button and you shock yourself and the patient. Sorry. Just a funny mental image. Anyway.
So the phones are going to have the retractable leads and everything with the pads on them. You just pop the back cover off and the pads come out and you apply them.
Well, this new iPhone thingy has two metal contact pads. Basically, it's like an iPhone case. You put it over the iPhone. And I wish I've got to find it. And it's got two metal contact pads, and you can put it anywhere on the chest, and it will basically register two leads of an EKG.
So it's like going back to the dark days of the paddles.
Exactly,
you know,
like that.
You know, there's nothing like leaning over an aluminum stretcher going 70 miles an hour down the highway trying to shock someone, hoping like hell you don't touch the stretcher when you push the button.
Yeah, but aren't they? Isn't AHA now advocating hands-on CPR even through defibrillation?
I had not heard about that.
Yeah, there's several trials in I can't think of the metropolitan area right now. I'm gonna have to look it up. But there's a metropolitan area where they're actually doing CPR while they're shocking, and nobody's been shocked yet. Amazing.
Yeah, I've caught a charge once off of wet grass. I didn't like it, so.
It's just a little shock. It's not like, you know, it's not like it's going to kill you.
Oh, yeah. going up one knee and down the other and everything in between, it wasn't fun at all.
You're still here. Didn't kill you. If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger, right?
No, but it made me say bad words for quite a while.
Oh, I bet it did.
Chris, the company that creates that is called AliveCor.
Yes.
And it's made in partnership with Oregon Scientific.
Yes.
It's called Alive ECG.
And they have videos on their website that are actually quite compelling. And I was actually very amazed that they had this really cool product. I love it. I don't know.
That might be another reason for me to buy an iPhone.
They'll come out with an Android app. I guarantee it.
Oh well, since iPhone's coming to Verizon now, I have a few more options.
I just looked at the Verizon review on CNET today, and they said it actually drops fewer calls. Big surprise. I wonder why.
Huh.
They just need to take that technology and make it into a set of disposable pads that will actually plug in through the dock connector on the bottom. I would so get it.
Oh, that'd be cool. That'd be really cool. Maybe someday. Someday we'll all be so connected that they'll be able to actually shock you through 911. They'll be like, oh yeah, he's in cardiac arrest. F9. Sir, are you okay?
Place the phone on their chest.
Sir, can you hear me? Place your phone on your chest. I'm going to shock you now.
Holy crap, your heart rate's 210. Hold on.
I'm going to synchronize cardiovert.
This is going to hurt just a little.
You're going to feel a little pinch.
We can administer Versed through the phone. Enjoy. Oh, gosh.
Well, in that case, I think I'm having a seizure.
Oh, this podcast is everywhere tonight. It's all over the place.
So the nurse is dying, but
yes,
by the way, okay. You guys are cracking me up.
Why?
Yeah, just cracking me up. Okay. I just want people to know where the AED is even located in the building. And you guys have it in your iPhones.
Not yet. That's the plan.
I know. I just want them to know that we even have an AED in the building. All so,
okay. just imagine how much money you could make off of that.
Yeah. I don't know if the wattage is enough on a phone battery to do it.
Nobody can steal the idea. It's already happened here.
That's right. Copyrighted, patented, patent pending. Rights. That's right. And trademark.
Yes.
Hey, it's the fact that they could even make it. I mean, that's not the issue. The issue is it'll be so overpriced because the insurance they have to carry on that device, it'll be ridiculous.
I'm looking at the ECG program on slashgear.com. It was just came up in a simple Google search. It's expected to cost about $100 and can take accurate readings of the heart that a medical professional can look at to determine if there is a serious heart issue.
I think we could call the app the iDefibrillator. That'd be pretty cool.
The iFib.
iFib. Nice.
Or the iShock.
Oh, that's even better.
Even better. I like that. That's good. I think you just named the podcast, by the way.
iShock.
Well, that way we have it forever immortalized in the web so that people are like, oh, I want to get the iShock as my company name. And everybody like, oh, it's already taken. So.
Darn.
Yeah.
And then the phone crashes and starts shocking you in your pocket.
Could you imagine some guy? Have you, as an EMS provider, have you guys seen a person with their defibrillator, their implanted defibrillator, going off in their chest? While it is the most disturbing thing, quite honestly, when you go back later, it's probably the funniest thing. And I could just, because people just involuntarily twitch when they're. I wish you could see it on the camera right now, but I'm twitching while I say it. But they involuntarily twitch because it just keeps going off over and over and over again. Probably the most uncomfortable thing and very painful. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making fun of this at all. But as an EMS provider, it's pretty disturbing. And you're almost kind of like James. You're almost afraid to touch that person because you're like, gee, that guy's got a thing going off in his chest. I don't know if I want to do it. But could you imagine just people walking down the street and at random they just start having random seizures or their leg just start shaking as they walk down the street because their eye shock goes off in their pocket.
Well, and then a branch of that from eye shock would be a taser version.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
A self-defense iPhone.
That's nice. The iPhone with the air taser attachment. That's nice.
Yes.
It could do both.
Yeah, you just change the pad. You just change the cables out. That'd
no,
be awesome.
No, the taser is the defibrillator.
We're gonna shoot bar.
Yeah, you shoot the barbs in it. Okay, well, let's see. I want taser, and you push a button for taser, or you push a button for 200 joules. Perfect.
And if you push the wrong button,
here's Stallone, the deal.
It's like that Stallone movie with Judge Dredd, and his pistol would have a. He would tell it what he wanted it to do, and it would do it. You just tell the phone taser, and then shoot it.
But James, here's the deal, though. If you were either way, you wouldn't remember the thing, because if you were in cardiac arrest and the guy that shot it at you pushed taser, you wouldn't know it. And if you were somebody that you were trying to tase and you pushed defibrillate. Again, you wouldn't know because you would be dead. Either way, you're okay.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious how well a taser would defibrillate someone. You know, this conversation leads me to a cartoon that I watch, which will remain nameless for various reasons. But they had a line in there that made me fall out of my chair laughing. And one guy looked at the other and said, "Just in case, you know how to start a man's heart with a down power line?" Then there's an awkward pause, and he says, "Well, there's really no wrong way to do it."
See, that's what I'm saying. Well, I think that's why you would have two buttons, because one button would actually deliver 5,000 volts or 50,000 volts. The other one would actually deliver joules, which are, as we know, if you know anything about electricity, while they're the same, they're different. So the 50,000 volts won't kill you. They will hurt. And that's what incapacitates you. The 200 joules will kill you and incapacitate you. I mean, it has kind of two benefits. So I don't know. I'm just saying.
And even so more reason not to drive and talk on your phone.
So what we need to convert all of our tasers over to 360 joule defibrillators. Because if we're going to put them down, we might as well put them down for good.
No, but they'll be biphasic. So 200 joules would be fine.
Yes, don't shock yourself while driving.
Yes, exactly. And definitely no texting while driving.
Hey, you know what? This could solve the problem with people driving and texting. If the accelerometer detects that you're moving, it will deliver a mild shock to tell you to put the phone down. We're saving lives here, people.
You guys are right on.
Except for all the people in the car that you killed because you ran off the road when it shocked you. But that's fine. That's fine. Nothing big there.
Keeps us in business.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, I got nothing else. You guys got something? If not, we're gonna call this shocking episode to a close. Bad puns. I like bad puns. Don't you know that about me?
Too soon?
Yeah, maybe. No, not really. It's never too soon for a bad pun in our industry. I mean, the guy could be laying there and you'd be like, so, did you lose your head? Sorry. Anyway, sorry. I hope next week we're going to talk about how to motivate people to attend your CEs. That's really what we're going to talk about tonight, but the people I wanted to talk about it didn't show up. And Chris Kaiser... Dude, I'm pissed you didn't come on my show. But hopefully I get you on tomorrow and we'll just do a special episode. So thank you guys for coming on tonight. And it was fun. You know, I like this small format. It's good because we all get our chance to talk and say our piece and then come up with really crazy ideas like iPhone shocking. So anyway.
Yeah, I quickly degraded from a useful conversation into a speculation on the future of the iPhone.
Or droid. I like my droid. I have a droid, yes. And I like it a lot.
It was absolutely awesome.
And thank you, Google. Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with James. Where can people find you?
They can find me at yellowrubberducky.squarespace.com.
Very cool. And Russell Stein, the hybrid medic, where can people find you?
Anywhere. I like Google searches, so just type in Hybrid Medic and you'll pretty much find me anywhere. Hybridmedic.com. I'm hosted on the EMS Blogs Network. And Twitter, at Hybrid Medic, and even hybridmedic@gmail.com. I enjoy all forms of electronic entertainment and or communication.
So here's an interesting question. You ever done a narcissistic Google search? On yourself?
Yes.
I think there's actually a term for that. It's like narcissogoogle or something like that. It's like you're Googling yourself, which well, sounds mainly, really I naughty, do but
it just,
it's fun.
I mainly do it just to see exactly what my internet presence is. I'm not doing it because I want to see myself. I'm doing it because I want to make sure that I'm still projecting the image that I want to project.
Very cool. That's a good.
So point. if I searched my name and pulled up, you know, a bunch of, you know, dirty pictures, that wouldn't be so good.
But it would be funny.
But there are none. There are none.
Oh, by the way. Right. Okay. Well, and just don't tell Jamie this, but if you search EMS podcast on Google, I'm number one. Shh, don't tell him. Okay. It was my goal to be number one and beat Jamie, and I did it finally. Anyway, just saying. But Medicast is like one and two. I don't get that. And then Health One, which really doesn't do a podcast. And then EMS World, who doesn't actually have a podcast. They just have a different type of streaming audio on their website. And then Studio A, which is a really good podcast from the really great doctor and several, I think, EMS providers from Acadia. Great, great, great show. EMS Educast, number 5. EMS Live, don't know who that is, maybe. Anyway, that's John Bignell's old deal. EMS Live was kind of the original idea of why I wanted to do this show. And then Chief Supply actually has a podcast. Who knew? And then EMTpodcast.com. Oh, I got to look that up. Maybe that's Jamie Davis. He's trying to hone in on the extra Google-age. Yep, that's Jamie Davis. Stinker. Anyway. And two things. A, talk about beating Kyle David Bates and how we can do that. And B, no, three things. B, where we can find you on Twitter. And then C, are you a booth babe?
That's great. So first I'm going to say you can find me at the ProMed Network booth at EMS Today on March 3rd through 5th. Can't wait to see you there. Otherwise, it's Caring Ann on Twitter. And I am challenging Kyle David Bates and the EMS Garage Geeky Medic in a new dart challenge. So whoever is up for that to join us in EMS Today during that week, I am putting that challenge out there, and I am challenging the two of you that I will kick your little butts. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, wait. You're on my team.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're my distraction, remember?
I know, but...
All right.
Okay,
Don't be jumping ship on me now.
Is Team Geeky Medic going to beat Team Kyle David Bates? Because it's a one-to-one tie, and this winner takes all at EMS Today here in Baltimore. So who's up for the show? Who's up to watch? Who's up to join the team? And yes, who's up for the challenge?
I will. I have secret weapons. So the unfortunate thing is my secret weapon from last time is not showing up at this show. Who was a semi-pro champion dart thrower, which I did not know at the time, which was awesome. He's not going to show up, so doggone it. However, I have another secret weapon. And if you know about James Bond, you know what my secret weapon is. I don't need to go any more into that. You'll just understand. So join Team Geeky Medic. Send me an email, emsgarage@gmail.com. Send Ann an email. And you need like caringann@gmail.com or something cool like that.
Okay, we'll set that up tomorrow.
That'd be awesome. Okay, you should set that up. Or you can just email us, emsgarage@gmail.com, and I'll forward it to the right people. And you said, Ann, where people can find you. You don't have a website? What is up with that?
Yeah, we'll work on that too. I'm sure we'll work on that during EMS Today. So, but really, I want to see you. Come join us, EMS Today. We want to see you. We'll be there Thursday through Saturday, all day, throughout the day. And come join us on a podcast or just to sit and watch and join the audience. I'm sure we'll have lots of good prizes and lots of things going on. So I can't wait to see you guys there.
Yes. And last thing I did here is maybe you'll get a copy of your own EMS Garage, EMS Radio, or actually EMS Radio and ProMed Network t-shirt. Limited run, limited edition, few sizes, and we're going to throw those out to the audience. And I think what we're going to do is brand them per show. So if you're one of the first 100 or so people to our booth, you're going to get it, and that's it. There aren't any more. And it'll kind of be like your badge of honor saying, hey, I saw those guys back in 2011 when they were just like peons, and you know, it'll be like 2020 by then. So, it'll be really cool. And that shirt will be really awesome and maybe worth money. Probably not, but maybe worth something. At least smelly with old sweat stains. I'm Chris Montero, your host, Geeky Medic, on all the websites. You can find us at EMS Today. You can find me, Geeky Medic, on Facebook, Twitter, and any other website you want to find me on. Just search Geeky Medic or Chris Montero and you'll find me. Thanks for listening and have a great day, evening, weekend. Join us next time when we talk more about issues that concern you.